My brand new book, Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth, is now available. So much more than a book, this is a guide that allows me to hold your hand through your birth preparation journey. With over a decade of experience and knowledge packed in to ensure you really are empowered in the way you deserve to achieve a positive birth, regardless of the twists and turns that crop up. Make sure that you get your hands on Midwife Pip's Guide to a Positive Birth book now and are empowered to have the birth experience that you deserve.
Hello, I'm Midwife Pip and welcome to the Midwife Pip podcast, the home of honest expert chat. My mission is to provide you with the very best support and information through pregnancy, birth, and beyond with my online courses over at midwifepip.com. And as a podcast listener, I'm also offering you an exclusive 15% off all my online courses using code PODCAST15. With no further ado, let's get chatting.
You survive the newborn period, and before you know it, it's time to start weaning your little one. Weaning a baby is something that causes many parents some anxiety. And with so much conflicting information out there, it is no wonder. Now, we all want to do the very best for our babies and transition to weaning in as positive and smooth way as possible. So I'm very excited for this week's expert guest to join me and share what you need to know about weaning your baby. Charlotte Sterling Reed is here to rescue us all from the confusion. Charlotte is the baby and child nutritionist and founder of SR Nutrition. Charlotte really is an expert in the area of baby weaning. As a registered nutritionist who has supported thousands of families with feeding their little ones. In fact, Charlotte is such a leading expert in this field that she has won many awards for her work, most recently winning the best blog and best online resource for Weaning Week in 2020. And when not winning awards, Charlotte has also featured on many TV programs, such as Jamie and Jimmy's Friday Night Feast, and worked with celebrities, including collaborating with Jay Wicks for the publication of his book, Wean in 15. Charlotte's writing expertise are so that she is the author of her best-selling book, How to Wean Your Baby. This is an absolutely essential read for anyone on a weaning journey, and it is also linked in the episode description. Welcome, Charlotte, and thank you so much for navigating technological mayhem and joining us on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. What an introduction. That was amazing. I was like, yep, I remember that.
I had to mention your book because as we sort of mentioned before, I'm sort of just starting to prepare and navigate that weaning stage with little Finley. And your book is just like a Bible. It's amazing. I'm like, oh, now I know what to do. This is great. I don't need to make it really complicated and confusing. I can just follow this and I'm sorted.
Oh, I love it. And that, do you know what? That honestly was my intention to create, was literally a Bible, a step-by-step guide, a handheld document that would take parents through this journey. Because, you know, I've been working in this field for so long and I know that parents come to me constantly saying, where do I even begin? Like, where do I start? And there's so much information you can read out there. And yes, some of it's brilliant, but some of it's confusing, some of it's conflicting. So for me, I was like, I'm going to take all the evidence, I'm going to put it in this book and I'm going to make it really digestible and, like I said, that have that step-by-step element to it so that anyone who is unsure can kind of build their confidence up along with my book. So that was the big aim, really.
You have nailed it. You've properly nailed it. I'm a big fan, so thank you for putting the work into that.
Thank you so much.
I just wonder, Charlotte, if we kind of sort of scratch back a little bit. I know you started your career in the NHS. What then led you to kind of specialise, I guess, in babies and children, as much as we're grateful that you did?
When I started, I mean, I was so lucky, really, because I did an undergraduate and then a postgraduate degree in kind of slightly different aspects of nutrition. And I didn't really know what field I wanted to go into as a result. I absolutely loved human biology, but I really felt like nutrition was going to be like an up and coming part of it all. And I was so lucky. I got a job in the NHS working alongside a nutrition and dietetics team, which was all about supporting mothers, babies, early years and young children. And I worked alongside the most amazing team. And I just learned so much. And I also really developed this kind of, it was, I wouldn't use the word like passion, because I know that's used so much, but it was just, I just felt there is so much work that needs to go on in this field to help parents, to help young babies to develop, you know, healthy relationships with food throughout their life. And I just really felt like I wanted to stay in that field. And I did dip into other fields. So I worked with older adults, I worked at weight loss clinics, but I always kind of had that element of child nutrition involved in all the work that I did. And it just, to me, it is a really, really important area. So I stuck with it. And I was trained in the NHS with such a great team and learned so much from then. And yeah, just kind of carried it on throughout the rest of my career, really.
Amazing. And I guess sort of from the outside in, child nutrition, especially like weaning with tiny, tiny new babies, is such a powerful kind of opportunity, I suppose, like a window of opportunity, because we can hopefully try and step in before we develop bad habits and help children have a healthy relationship with food, like you say. And I think in today's world, that's kind of more important than ever.
Completely. And I think, you know, there's so much to it, but you know, we know that what children eat when they are really young will influence what they eat as they get older. So their patterns of eating are developed when they're young, but they also pick up, you know, how to eat, and also feelings about food, what they think about their food and their diet. And you know, it has all comes from a really, really early age. And so for me, I feel like it's an opportunity, and it's not a negative thing. You know, some people think, oh God, lots of pressure, but it's not the pressure. It's just, this is a really great opportunity to help your little one explore, enjoy, try lots of different things. And you know, like a kind of bi-directional experiment through the journey of food. And that's what I like to try and encourage people to think about with when it comes to eating, because, you know, the early years does have an impact. And we know that from lots of research.
Definitely. And one of the things that I've picked up on just from your bookshop, I've been reading it over the weekend, actually.
Aww.
And it was the kind of way that you talk about having fun around the table and actually making, you know, dinner times with your baby really fun and exciting. And I think that's really important, because as a new parent, my biggest fear was, how can I approach weaning in a way that's not going to mean that mealtimes are forever a battle? I don't want a child that's only ever going to eat fish fingers and chicken nuggets. And how can I approach that? And I love that your ethos was like, let's just start by making it fun, like not stressing about the fact they haven't actually consumed any food, but actually just having fun with it. And I think that's really reassuring, I think, for parents as well. It takes that pressure off a little bit.
I think it's so key. And, you know, I think for parents that it kind of doesn't make sense, because we are innately wanting our children to eat. You know, we want them to eat food because we know that's how they're going to survive. And so sometimes that can come out as like, no, you must eat this food. And, you know, if they don't eat for a couple of meals, it's that kind of pure panic. And it's totally understandable. But actually, I try and encourage parents to take a step back and think, like, rather than getting them to eat, we need to get them or help them to enjoy to be part of that meal. And you know, I use examples, things like if you went to a restaurant and you were sitting in a restaurant and it was maybe like noisy and lots going on and people around you were anxious and there was someone there saying, come on, please just try this, please just eat this, if you, as you as an adult, would go, no, not going back to that restaurant, absolutely not, it was hideous, I didn't want to eat, I didn't enjoy it, you know, you would not want to go back there. And so you have to try and look at it from the little one's perspective as well. If that is happening, if the mealtime is becoming really tense or a bit of a battleground and, you know, they're being pressured and kind of forced to eat something, that is going to have a knock-on effect to them wanting to go back into that high chair and be back a part of that mealtime. So I always say, take a step back, look at that environment, how can we make this pleasant and enjoyable and fun for my little one? Because as soon as you make them want to be in that high chair and part of that meal, you're getting one big step towards them actually wanting to try and eat that food. And it might not come straight away, but that's where we're heading, if you see what I mean.
I love that. And I think as a byproduct, it's just a lot more enjoyable for the parents, isn't it? And a lot less stressful and anxiety provoking. So I love that. Now, we've spoken a little bit about the term weaning, Charlotte, but just so that we're all kind of really clear, what exactly is weaning for anyone listening thinking we're talking a completely different language?
Absolutely. So, yeah, do you know what? A few years ago, the NHS tried to kind of get rid of the term weaning and call it kind of introducing solid foods or complementary feeding. But the term weaning is very ingrained, I think, now around food and offering food. But we're not talking about weaning baby off of milk or off of the breast initially. What we're talking about is weaning babies onto solid foods, which is a gradual process which gets our little ones used to a variety of foods until they are on what we have, which is an adult diet. So it's a gradual process of introducing your little one to the tastes and flavours of foods that we eat, nice and slowly and gradually, so that they then can eat what we, you know, almost kind of see as an adult-based diet.
Yeah, that's super, super helpful, I think. And I like the fact that you say, you know, about the milk, because we know that their milk is still going to form a huge part of their diet to start with, because they just don't really eat that much. They throw it all around, which is great fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's not a massive nutrition element.
Yeah, exactly. We're certainly at the beginning, the milk still is very important. And as baby starts to get more familiar with and eating a bit more food, then you'll find that their milk intake would hopefully nice and gradually start to decline. So rather than it being like, boom, food's here, out with the milk, it's a really gradual process. And a lot of that process is following baby's lead and following, you know, what baby is suggesting they want and how they're growing and how they're developing. So it's not clear cut and it's different for all children. But yeah, it's an experiment. It's exploring. It's getting them familiar with. And some babies take to it really quickly and go, oh, my goodness, give me that food. Gobble, gobble, gobble. And other babies are a bit like, I'm not sure about this. Just give me some time. And most of the time they do get there if we can, you know, handle it well. But that is definitely how I've kind of seen it happen.
And I guess if we're honest, we're kind of like that as adults as well, aren't we? Like as adults, we will have completely different appetites. And one day we might fancy certain food more than another. And they're only mini versions of us, aren't they, at the end of the day?
Exactly. And they also can't communicate that. So I do try and say this as well. I do lots of weaning webinars and I do fussy eating workshops. And I try and say, again, like put yourself into their shoes. If you didn't fancy soup one day and someone popped a bowl of soup in front of you and you were like, oh, you could say, oh, I really don't fancy soup. You know, or you could choose what you were going to have, whereas a baby doesn't have that. So if you pop something in front of them and they weren't expecting it, or they just think, I really don't fancy a bowl of hot soup, or, you know, the other way around, maybe there's loads of finger foods and they're like, I'm really tired, I haven't got the energy to feed myself this well today. All they can do is go, no, turn their head, push the bowl away, cry. That's their communicating with you that right then, right now, they just don't want that.
Yeah, no, that's really good advice. That taking a step back, isn't it, as a parent, is always really useful because you're so emotionally involved in everything that's happening. Taking a breath is really great advice. Now, over the years, and we kind of just alluded to it with even the term weaning and how that's kind of changed and gone to and from. Yeah. But I think the advice on weaning's definitely changed as well. Certainly my mum's very helpful advice that she's giving me is massively outdated, and that's only one generation, you know. So what is the current advice as to sort of when we should think about starting weaning with our babies?
Yeah, I think this causes so much confusion. And you know, when I started my career, it was slightly different, and then it changed, and then it sort of, you know, I would say that what I've noticed happened in my career around this is that we started off with kind of like recommending more like 4 to 6 months. And then when I was, you know, heavily working for the NHS, we did start to say, right, it's got to be more like 6 months of age, kind of on the dot. Latest guidance, which has come out, you know, a good few years ago now, we try to talk about when we talk very much about around 6 months. So we acknowledge the fact that 6 months is probably a good age for most babies to be ready for their solid foods. But that doesn't mean that every single baby is going to reach that milestone at exactly the same time, because let's be honest, none of them walk and talk and crawl and roll over on exactly the same kind of birthday. And it's the same with weaning. There are going to be signs that they are ready, or signs that they are, you know, nearing that readiness. But you know, the ideal is around 6 months, so close to 6 months. We're not talking about starting super early, or we're not talking about starting at 4 months or even before 4 months, unless you're, you know, a healthcare professional has been recommending you to do that for specific reasons. But what we want to do is look out for signs of readiness. And these include, number one, that babies should be able to sit up, hold their head and neck steady. They should be able to see food, they should be able to pick it up and bring it to their mouth by themselves. And number three, ideally, they should be able to swallow food. So a baby who's not ready will have quite a strong tongue thrust reflex. So if you put your finger on their bottom lip, and their tongue comes out as an instant reaction. And you see them doing that, when they're putting things in their mouth or when you start foods, it might mean that less food gets swallowed and more is pushed out. And it might mean that they're not quite ready. So those are the kind of three main signs to be looking out for, ideally. And you want to be looking out for multiple signs happening on multiple occasions and as close to 6 months as you can. So, that's kind of current advice, which seems a bit... seems maybe a bit complicated, but it really isn't. It's just trying to check those signs that your baby is actually developmentally ready rather than giving a, very definite age, if that makes sense.
Definitely. No, I think that's really nice and clear and actually quite nice, simple steps. As you approach 6 months, looking out for those three things.
Yeah, exactly.
And then maybe starting to explore it when it's right for you and your little one.
Exactly.
Now, we hear lots about these two terms, Charlotte, and I know these absolutely got me in a complete like Google, Wikipedia rabbit hole when I started exploring weaning. So we hear about baby-led weaning, and then we hear about sort of spoon-fed or see people spoon-feeding their baby. What on earth does it all mean? And is there a best way to wean your baby? Can we do a bit of both? Or what should we do, Charlotte? We're just taking a quick pause from this episode so that I can share with you a brand that I know you're going to love as much as I do. My little Finley is growing up fast and is almost on the move, which means it's now time to start making our home safe for him. Did you know that every single week, at least one child under 5 years of age dies in an accident? 75% of which happen in their own home. I think this is terrifying. And this is why the team at Cheeky Rascals offer a variety of products that not only help make parents' lives easier, but are also the safest on the market, including brands like Love to Dream, Rocket, and the Fred Baby Proofing Safety Range, which has everything you need to keep your little one safe and your mind at ease. I want to support you to make your home safer for your little one and prevent them coming to any harm. So Cheeky Rascals are sponsoring this podcast and offering you 15% off Fred safety products using the code MIDWIFEPIP15.
Good question. So yeah, parents get so confused by this. And I really, again, another part of my aim in the work I do is to try and just help parents to realize that it doesn't have to be black and white. There is no boom, that's the way. But all of this is about experimenting, it's about journey, it's about learning you as well as your baby. And so anyone who tells you have to do something this way, it's just not how the world works, so baby-led weaning became very popular, and actually it became quite popular in the UK after I had finished my work in the NHS. So prior to that, we very much talked about purees and starting with purees, and then a little bit later introducing those finger foods to baby. Then baby-led weaning became super popular, and it was kind of, there was almost a, you have to take this approach or the other approach. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I started working with Joe on his Wean in 15 campaign and the whole book around that. And I remember, we were talking about, how he was going to start. And he got so many messages from people saying the only way you can do it is by introducing just pieces of food, like baby-led weaning. So little pieces of food, letting baby help themselves and feed themselves. And when we started, because I'm a bit of a fan, there is some benefits to baby-led weaning, things like teaching baby to self-feed and things like helping them to learn how to bite and chew pieces of food. But you can also have that in combination with learning how to take food off of a spoon, learning how to self-feed with a spoon, learning how to curl your lip and clear the spoon. So all of these are kind of, really positive developmental things that babies can learn. So there's no reason why you can't marry those two approaches and say, I'm going to go with what me and my baby seem to like best. So we're going to experiment with both. We're going to see how it goes. We're going to carry on trying, but we're just going to kind of follow baby's lead. And when Joe started, I said to him very much, you know, let's do best of both approach, because there's lots of people out there saying this is the way. There's lots of people who are scared out there who are saying, no, I'm only going with purees. Let's show them how actually both. And do you know what? He got so many messages from people saying, oh my gosh, you can't do both. You're going to cause your children to choke. And it's like, well, actually, no. The best of both is, there's no reason why you can't do the best of both. And some babies really take to finger foods, and absolutely right from the start, are self-feeders, whereas other babies are maybe a bit slower and they want to be given that spoon, and they want to have some food off of a spoon to start with, to help them get used to flavors and variety before they start kind of being encouraged to self-feed. So again, following baby's journey, but no black or white. I hope that kind of answered the question and made sense with regards to the two different options.
Oh, definitely, Charlotte. And actually, when I was looking at your book and making sure I had those, the first 10 days, those vegetables, they are on my shopping list for this week. But actually, I love the way you were like, okay, so, you know, a potato, I couldn't figure out how I could do potato finger food style. But actually, you just make it really simple. And I like the fact that you sort of suggest giving some, for example, sticks of potato along with some like mashed or pureed potato. So they're experimenting with it in two different ways.
Yeah.
And I think, I know we said like we want to make it really fun and we want to encourage them to play with their food, but it is also quite handy if we get some nutrition in them, isn't it? I think that's where spoon feeding can be a little bit helpful.
Definitely. I mean, I would say in that first week or so, you know, those first 10 days, they really are experimentation. Okay. And we don't worry. You know, sometimes parents come to me and they say, they've got nothing in, so I'm going to do the 10 days again. And I'm like, no, don't, you know, let them play, let them explore, but move them forward. If they're ready for weaning, you don't need to keep doing it until you feel like, yeah, they've got it now. So move forward with it. But, you know, those first 10 days are really experimenting. But thereafter, and again, in my book on day 11, I start to build in iron rich foods, or I think it's day 12 actually, I start to build in iron rich foods, because that's actually is important for us to start getting iron rich foods into baby's diet. So I mean, you know, it is still about going at baby's pace, and it is about kind of exploring and letting them have fun with it. But yeah, one of the reasons why I wrote it in that detail in my book was because, even though to some people it might be like, well, it's really obvious, like you boil a potato, you mash some of it, you leave some of it as a stick, but how long do I boil it for? Like, how, what kind of size and shape should I be cooking it? And it might seem like obvious questions to some people, but actually, when you're a new mum and you're very, very tired and everything is new and you are literally learning the ropes as you go along, it can be quite terrifying. And all of a sudden, boom, we've got to start giving them food. What do I even do, you know? And that is exactly why I've kind of tried to break it down. So, you know, how long to boil the potato for? What should it look like? You know, I've got images of finger food squished so that you can actually see the kind of texture in the book. And then, you know, yeah, how to then make that into a puree that's like also appropriate for baby to have alongside. So, yeah, that's, I'm glad that you found that helpful, because that was exactly what I wanted to do, just take the pressure and take the stress off of parents who've already got enough on their plates.
Oh, I absolutely found that so, so helpful. And I also found it really interesting because I think when we see it, when we think about pureed baby food, and my husband was a classic, he was like, can't wait to give him mashed banana. And my mum was like, oh, you know, you need to puree apple and all this kind of stuff. And that is what I think we often think of, is mashed banana when we think about weaning a baby. But your approach is very much getting those bitter vegetable tastes in first. Why is that, Charlotte?
Yeah, so not necessarily bitter, but basically babies are born with a preference for sweeter foods. So if we give them something sweet, like apple, pet off that sneeze.
Apologies. Finley's really enjoying listening because he loves his food. So he's like, oh yeah, give me all of that.
when you give babies, you know, apple and pear and banana, it's absolutely fine to do so if you want to. There's no problem with it. However, they are going to readily accept those because they already have a preference for sweet foods. So those foods are likely to get gobbled up. However, when you then try and introduce something like broccoli or something savory or even something more neutral, they're more likely to be, you know, no, not sure about this. Give me that sweet stuff that I really enjoyed and that I'm kind of born to prefer. So actually, weaning is about experimenting with the new. And there is research that shows that introducing savory and bitter veggies for those first taste of weaning can actually increase the acceptance and the liking of those later on. And sometimes that's what we often struggle to get little ones to eat, is the vegetables, because they are much more preferring the sweeter options, or sometimes like the carbohydrate options are more preferred by little ones. So experimenting with a variety of flavors from a young age can help to develop their palate, help them to get used to a much wider variety of taste that they don't already easily accept. So it's playing and experimenting with the new, it's trying new taste, and it's trying to develop their familiarity and therefore acceptance with much wider array of taste, including those bitter and savory ones that are a little bit less well accepted.
That makes perfect sense. And I genuinely just hadn't thought about it until I read that in your book, and I was like, well, of course that makes sense. If all I ever got to eat was chocolate, I'd be like, lovely, thanks very much. And then if you suddenly gave me some broccoli, I'd be like, what is that in comparison? Yeah. So actually it makes perfect sense in the way they develop. And we all want children that are confident eaters, that are happy to eat whatever we're eating, don't we? We none of us want to sort of have babies where mealtime is a constant battle. I know that's one of our massive fears with weaning. Yeah. So actually, the way you start approaching it, I think, it makes perfect sense building those foundations. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, like I say, it's not black or white. It's not like this is the only way, or if you do this, your child will 100% be a really great eater, because there's loads of other factors involved, loads. But this is one way that you can help, as I say, to build their familiarity with a much wider variety and get those bitter notes and those other flavours starting to become more familiar and more normal for them, so that they are more likely to accept them. So, you know, I never kind of promise like this is it, this is all you need to do, because as you know, with everything, there's so many factors, it's so complicated. But there is research that shows that this absolutely can help. So it's a step in the right direction, basically.
Absolutely. And no one likes change, do they? So, and then weaning is a massive change for babies. So I think the way we approach it is so important. Now, when we sort of spoke about some of the foods to think about, but when, like, how often should we start? So say like tomorrow we decide, right, we're going to start our weaning journey. We're about 6 months. Do you offer like a meal? Are you going like breakfast, lunch and dinner with me? How do we kind of navigate that sort of first day or that first week?
So yes, always really important to start with just one meal at a time. And the reason for that is because, you know, this is quite a big deal on baby's digestive system. And some babies can start to poo a lot as a result. And some babies can actually start to, you know, poo much less and potentially become a little bit constipated when they start solid foods, because their digestive system's just going, whoa, hold on a minute. All I've had is milk, and all of a sudden I'm being introduced to totally new foods. So that can be really normal. But if we are to go in there with 3 meals a day, that's going to be quite a lot. And it's also going to impact their milk intakes, because if they're eating 3 foods a day, that's going to drive their milk intake down potentially quite quickly. So that's why we want that gradual start. It's a nice, gentle introduction. Let's have one meal. Let's wait for my little one to kind of have experimented quite a bit with this, got used to it, and then try something new. You know, so it's just that kind of nice gradual introduction. So one meal a day. And in terms of the timing, it really is about what works for you and your family. You know, find a time of day when your baby is the most calm, when you're calm, when there's little distractions, where you're not in a rush, where you don't, you know, where you can, maybe baby wakes up from nap and they're nice and happy and you can give them some lunch with, you know, that you've prepped while they're sleeping, for example. Just that kind of calmness is really important, I think. So they're not too full, not too hungry. You know, not too sleepy, you know, all of that stuff can really help. But breakfast and lunch is usually a decent meal to start with.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I'm just thinking back to kind of perhaps pre-weaning, so maybe that like 4 to 5 month sort of period. And a couple of things I did, Charlotte, by accident, but actually I'm wondering whether they were probably quite helpful preparation, was when I was making dinner in the evening, I just popped him in his high chair in the kitchen with me, because it was just convenient, because it meant I could eat cook dinner and he was there. And then he started just sitting at the table with us, just in his high chair, holding his spoon and playing with some toys. But just in terms of getting babies ready and sitting in their high chair and used to the table environment, is that a sensible approach to take, or was I just like Just
no,
just
definitely. I actually was writing about this morning before I came on this podcast for a newspaper. But yeah, absolutely. Bring them to the table as early as you can. You know, there's some of the chairs they do like baby sets, so you can have baby, you know, even laying at the table with you in a kind of bouncer style thing. So the more that you can get them used to that environment where we're eating together and that food is important and that we take time out for this because this is an important part of our day. And the more they can see you experimenting with a variety of food and learn from watching you bite and chew and swallow and use cutlery and drink from open cups, they'll learn. They'll be learning the whole time. So yeah, involve them in those meal times, even from early on. It's really important. And, you know, I think it all just helps to add to that kind of excitement for them of eating is an important, special thing rather than, you know, one thing I often say again to parents is, imagine like if you never eat in front of your baby, if they never get to see you eating and you're sitting at the table with them and you're getting them to eat, but you're not eating, they're never going to see why. Why should I be doing this? You're not doing it. So why am I doing it? So I think sometimes feeding ourselves in front of them can be so key. And that's even, you know, if you've got a little one who's a fussy eater, massively helps. But if you're at the start of your weaning journey, again, massively helps too, because they'll just see you, they'll observe you eating, they'll be like, oh yeah. And I can't tell you the number of times with both my kids, I do things like, and I just watch them go, you know, they emulate those movements and that copying, and it's just such a lovely part of it. So yeah,
they're such little sponges, aren't they? Like, you're their role model, like they look up to everything you do, so it makes sense that actually if you're sat at the table eating with them, they're like, oh, what's mum and dad doing?
Absolutely.
Whoever your parent and carer is, I think I'll do that as well.
Exactly. It's such an important element of their learning and their wanting to eat. So yeah, the more you can do that, that's brilliant. So you've done a great job there.
Fingers crossed it helps. Although Finley's so big, Charlotte, that everyone's like, I'm sure he's just going to eat everything.
Oh, well, you never know. They're always so different and they're pretty good at regulating their own appetites as well. So
definitely. You just mentioned briefly then drinking and then watching you drink from an open cup. When can babies start drinking water and what kind of cup should we introduce it with, ideally?
Okay, so very generally around 6 months, around the time of starting weaning is when we'd normally introduce water as well. However, I often say to parents, like if there's a lot going on for baby in that first week of weaning, so if you want to, you can leave it a little bit later until your baby started to get used to the food. I think I found that with my daughter, it was just too much giving her food and spoon and bowl and finger food and water. You know, it was too much. So I left that maybe 10 days later or so. However, from around 6 months, it's a good idea to give them sips of water with meal from an open cup. And the reason for this is because it allows them to get used to learning how to sip from an open cup rather than sucking from the breast or bottle. So it's basically teaching them skills, developing their oral motor skills, helping them learn to, you know, take water and not spill it. So all you need is a really nice little baby cup and a little bit of water in it and just get them experimenting. But the key way is really, as we said, showing them. So even if you're using their cup yourself to show them how to drink it and then supporting them yourself by holding the cup for them and letting them, then eventually they'll get there. And there's no pressure with it, because really right up until 12 months of age, they only need sips of water with meal, because you know, it's not really about getting the fluid in. They'll be getting plenty of fluid from the purees, from the food they're eating, and also from breast or formula milk. So yeah, you don't need to kind of pressure it or worry about how much they're getting. It's only really after one that you want them to start drinking slightly more, you know, adequate amounts of water.
That's really useful, actually, Charlotte, because I think when we see, I think just generally when we see, and maybe again, this is a generational change, babies drinking, we always see like a sippy cup or a cup with a straw, don't we? But actually you would advise just using an open cup. And I suppose if you're not putting pressure on yourself that they need to get loads of that fluid in, like you say, with all of weaning, then actually that feels much more comfortable, doesn't it? Than, well, they're just going to spill it everywhere, so they're not going to get anything in, so I must use something else.
Exactly. And that is part of it. That's exactly part of it. You know, they are going to spill it. It is going to go over. And that's why just a small amount of water and allow them to play and experiment and work out that cup. Because this isn't about getting them to guzzle loads of water. And then hopefully by the time they are one, they should be pretty good at using and manipulating that cup themselves. So you will find less spills, quite often babies still like to experiment with pouring the whole of their drink in their food. And there are other cups that you can use then, but ultimately this is about teaching them the skills of learning to drink from an open cup. So once they've mastered that skill, it's okay to offer other cups, but I would definitely stick to like the majority of the drinks that your little one's having coming from an open cup and using others for just on the go. So some of those kind of like non-valved, strawed, weighted cups can be really helpful for them on the go.
No, that's super, super handy, I think, because I feel like that's a bit of a myth to bust. So that's, and actually, when you think about the mess with water in an open cup and weaning, a little bit of water is literally the least of your worries, isn't it?
Exactly. So true. Oh my gosh.
So amazing. So Charlotte, I mean, you've helped, I think, definitely me, and I'm sure all of our listeners, sort of with their planning and I think just our whole mindset around weaning, and hopefully approaching it feeling kind of excited and embracing the opportunity rather than, oh my gosh, this whole new phase, this pressure, which is amazing. And as I said, I'm currently loving your book, and actually I've chosen just to read it in a stage. So I've just read like that first 10-day stage. And I thought once I'm halfway through that, I'll read the next stage again, just so it doesn't feel too overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because, yeah, you know, you're the next bit, you know, you're not going to need the ingredients and the foods and to work out how to do that next bit until you've kind of, you know, done those first 10 days. And then honestly, each stage will just build your confidence, like, I know how to do this now. I know how, you know, how soft to make their broccoli. I know, you know, what they like. I know what they like and what they've tried and what they haven't tried. And I know what I want to try again. So, and then you can start getting more confident and more experimental. So you don't have to follow the recipes, you know, step by step. So that's, you know, that's exactly it. So give yourself that confidence and move forward at your own pace and your baby's own pace too.
Definitely. Charlotte, I completely adore your ethos of helping your baby love their broccoli as much as their cake. And that just really resonates with me. I think it's fantastic and probably something we all need as adults as well, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I wonder whether, I always ask for three top tips, so at the end of a podcast episode. So I wonder if you could share your three top tips for parents who are either in or approaching the weaning stage.
Okay. So first of all, I would say what we've already covered in this, you know, which is, try and make it enjoyable for baby. You know, if your baby enjoys mealtimes and being part of the food and the environment, it's going to make the whole journey for them so much easier, but also for you. So massively, massively, massively try and make it enjoyable. Number two, I would say take the pressure off. The more that we pressure children of any age to eat up, the less likely they are to do it, and the more that that's going to create that negative and less enjoyable environment. So try to think about, this is a journey, it's about experimentation. Let them be the leaders, let them guide the journey, and try and take the pressure to get them to eat off as much as we can. And number three, I think, again, we've kind of touched on this here, you know, during this podcast, but I think number three, I would say is role model. You know, you are your little one's role model. So if you're wanting them to learn to eat well, if you're wanting them to learn how to bite, how to chew, how to swallow, just think they're going to learn it from me. So number three is be the role model, because if you want them to do all these things, if you want it to go, you know, smoother, I so often have parents say to me, how do I teach them to use cutlery? And again, role modeling, you know, there's lots of other elements to it, but that's a really, really key stage. So make it enjoyable for them. Take that pressure off you and them. And number three, role model, because they will learn so much from watching you.
Oh, Charlotte, thank you. That's so helpful. And I think you can probably hear that Finley is also very excited for this as well. He's like, let me at the broccoli and the cake all at once, please.
Oh, bless him. He's such a good boy. I can't believe how quiet, not the non-quiet baby is not good, but I just can't believe how content he is just sat there watching us, speaking into the microphone. He's just brilliant to watch.
Oh, you wait till 2 a.m, then he's not so content. Charlotte, thank you so much. It's been brilliant to chat with you.
Thank you for having me on. I loved it.
And that's it for another episode. I hope you enjoyed listening. Remember, you can use your exclusive discount code podcast15 on all my online courses. And why not check out my free mini course while you're there too? If you enjoyed listening to this episode, remember to hit subscribe so you're the first to hear about all the upcoming chats too. And I'd be immensely grateful if you could take a couple of minutes to leave me a quick podcast review too. I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.